Díaz Parques. Díaz Parques.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Us Podcast.
Podcast about us.
It's all of us, bro. Okay, this is episode...
This is part two.
Right. Thank you for saving me. Part two of our conversations at the Young Love Show at the Regency Ballroom in San Francisco.
San Francisco, California!
This conversation happened October 26th.
Yep.
And it was a long day.
Yep.
I specifically remember at the end of the day when we got our last interview and I looked at you, I said, bro, I'm fucking tired.
Yeah, and I was like, holy fuck, I can't believe we just did all that. And we still saw people perform.
Yeah.
It was fucking wild.
It was just such a new experience because we had all access passes. Mm-hmm. And we literally could walk. I felt like I owned the place. I could go on stage. Yeah. Nobody would stop me. I could walk around. And it's like, it was just such, I remember you told me.
Everyone was smoking weed in front of security guards.
It was insane.
Underage drinking.
Whoa. Incriminating. But I remember one thing that Angel said specifically that I want to like... start the episode with it because it's just such a nice thing. I remember he said like, bro, like he looked at me like when we were like mid conversation, like interviewing and grabbing people, he looked at us and we were really excited about who we had just interviewed, and he's like, bro, he's like, this is gonna be the rest of our lives now. And I was like, whoa. Yes.
It was like, there's no going back after you have a night like that.
No, especially because we kept our heads on straight. We didn't drink. We didn't smoke. Mm-mm. Until after.
Yeah.
And even then, dude, it was so exhausting. It was so new. We got to meet and just really connect with artists on a new level. Your favorite artist, so suck it, guys. But
the best part of all that is that we get to interview these folks and bring them back to the Us Podcast listeners.
Yes.
So we can all grow as a community. If you don't know who these artists are, you're going to discover some amazing people. If you do know who they are, well, me and Chris just got some street cred because we interviewed them. I remember a couple of days after, a friend of mine came up to me and he's like, how the fuck did you get to interview Bane's World? And I was like, bro.
Chill.
I know people, fool. Jonathan Justin Jimenez.
Shouts out.
Shout out to him. Shout out to Counterculture. And again, shout out to Katsu also for letting us use his green room for these interviews.
Yeah, we were literally there the entire evening, and it was so sweet. Like, they didn't have to. They did not have to.
They could have kicked us out any fucking moment.
And it looked like some of them wanted to. They were like, you know, moving shit around. And they're like, oh, you guys are still here, huh? I'm like, yes, Howie.
Like, we still doing interviews. But anyway, we're gonna bring you. We're gonna start these interviews now, and this is the first. It's our homie Joseph Flores, aka. Yep. Temper X. And that's a long version of T-Rex, as I like to call him. And yeah, we talk about some dope shit, and listen and find out what it is.
All right, here we go. Here's a new segment of interviews. Hope you guys folks are ready.
I've been a fan since you played at the factory in the arts district or whatever.
That's funny. Yeah. I hope I did good at that show.
I was like, who's this guy? And like, I'm telling you, like, your performance on stage, just like, I was like, this dude is just like completely in control.
Yeah. So Temprex just got off. Got done performing.
Sorry, I mean, I still have sweat on my head.
Yeah, freshly sweated Temprex.
Yeah.
Is sitting right in front of us. What's up, everybody? My name's Angel.
I'm Chris, and we're here.
Who's
at
sitting
Young
in
Love?
Front of me right now?
I'm Temprex.
Yes.
Whoa.
What's your slave name? Meaning your real name?
Joseph Flores.
What? Joseph Flores. So cool. Well, dude, and fucking honor to have you. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
for,
thank you so much
giving
for
us
just
your time.
Coming on and doing this. So, as everyone knows, this is a concert called Young Love, yeah. And we're going to ask you a question we've been asking all our interviewees. What does Young Love mean to you?
The first thing that came to my head is just, like, learning. Because when you're young and in love, you got to learn a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to learn in tough ways. You either get your heart broken. excuse me. My voice is still hoarse. But... It's definitely a learning experience.
Dude,
Wow, that's love, great. We've heard different.
Yeah, I am loving that question because everyone's got a different.
Like vulnerability, different... mistakes, but I like learning.
Yeah,
because it's true. You do like that's the result of some of young love. Because whether it goes good or bad, you always learn. You always learn how to improve or how to deal with it better.
And sometimes it's hard, man.
Yeah, definitely. Mm. So that's cool. That's a great way to. All right.
I'm going to ask one more thing. Sorry, Chris.
No.
So we drove, you had probably a longer drive than us, but we drove from LA. It was like 6 hours. How long was your, did you
that, drive? That's the thing. Since I'm just a solo act for now, I can fly now. Ooh. So, yeah.
Breaking news, Temprex flies.
What?
You have wings?
I gained the ability to fly.
Yeah.
It just happened one night.
You know, that's how he gets to and from.
So,
yeah.
So if everyone's wondering what just happened, once you become a solo artist,
you
gain
fly.
The ability
you
to
get,
fly.
You get your wings. Fly. You earn your wings.
Exactly. Oh, my God. Well, we had a long drive ahead of us, and we've been listening to everyone that played today's work. And I've been, like I said, I've been listening to your stuff since I saw you play at the Factory and, like, the Arts District. And so one thing that I notice when I listen to your music, it's, like, this very, like, childlike, in a good way, kind of atmosphere to your music. And I wonder, like, are you conscious of that aspect of your music?
I just like really, well, it can either, I think what you're referring to is like the, like what I used to do is very like sunshine and positivity.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like an inner child, like writing music.
I think the reason for that, like mostly on Care, is because I was pretty much like a child playing with building blocks. Like I was learning how to make music when I wrote that album. So that explains why it's childlike, because the chords are very simple. It's like the same time signatures for each song. But yeah, that's like it's that whole album was learning. So I just think of it as like kindergarten, but for making music.
Hey Tom, it's kindergarten Temprex.
I think that's really interesting because especially with a lot of male solo acts, you either get the super macho bravado type or like the sensitive. But I never childlike, never just like that childlike wonder. And
I love it. I almost feel like I'm being told like a fairy tale or like these like bedtime stories when I listen to your music. It's weird. Like these are the visuals that I get like when I listen to your
music.
That's
cool. I mean, also it like you can think of it this way. It was like basically an album written like a love album written from the perspective of someone who hadn't been in love yet. So like the romantic I was romanticizing everything a lot, and like I mean that's kind of what kids do, I guess. Like they romanticize like, oh, if only I was older, like that type of stuff.
Yeah.
Totally.
That's really cool. That's very unique. And yeah, thanks for sharing that.
What did you learn, I guess, since you're like, oh, you know, from the perspective of never being in love, have you learned anything about love since you released that album?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I can't name anything in particular, but just being in love, it's like that one Rex Orange County song, "Loving is Easy, You Got Me Fucked Up." It's a beautiful thing, but it also, just like everything, like other stuff, it has its like rough times, but yeah.
That's cool.
It's got its rough patches.
Love is amazing, though.
Well, we just got done seeing you perform, and you know, if we may, like when you meet you in person, you're very to yourself, very very mild mannered, you know, very much Peter Parker in that sense. But when you get up there, bro,
you become Spider-Man. You're
like, yeah, we become Spider-Man when you're up there. Where does that come from?
That was something I didn't come to terms with until I think this show, because like I hear a lot of people say like, oh, I become a completely different person when I'm on stage. But for me, I've always been like, no, I'm just like, I'm just myself. If anything, I think I'm the most myself when I'm on stage.
Got it. That's
but it's awesome. But it's also mixed with like some nerves too, because I like joke around out of nervousness.
Mm-hmm.
So it just kind of just pours out of me.
Yeah, especially since you're just performing alone. Like you can't really turn to your basses and be like, wasn't that funny?
Yeah, that's one thing I had to learn to like work around, because everyone has a band, so
yeah. Do you see yourself expanding to a band, or do you want to kind of stay this solo act?
I definitely would like to get a band, but I almost, like, a part of me says, like, as long, if I could do this for my whole career just solo, then I would totally do it.
Right.
But I mean, a band for every now and then would be great. Like, I've dreamed about, like, gigs like NPR Tiny Desk Concert. Mm-hmm. That would be so
tight.
He was
just talking about that earlier with me, yeah.
That's what I want a band for.
That's your next goal.
Yeah.
That's fucking dope, dude. I'm going back to, like, your music, just the album that you have. I hear, and I was just telling Chris about this on the way over here, I was like, I hear sounds and like music stuff in it that I've never heard before. And everything sounds like, when put together, it shouldn't work, but it does. And so, like, I wonder, like, where does, like, how do you, what do you hear when you put these songs together that makes you know that it works?
When I was writing Care, it was just kind of whatever I thought sounded good together. Like, it just kind of went. And I also think, like, I know what you're talking about. Like, with some songs by, like, Claro, I think that where you think it's, like, super unique and, like, whatever, I think it comes from just me teaching myself. Like, I know Claro is self-taught, so, like, I think when you're teaching yourself, you put, like, so much of yourself into what you're doing or what instrument you're playing or whatever.
You're definitely, like, when I hear your music, I hear an individual, and, like, that's super hard to do.
Yeah, it's hard to distinguish yourself when there's so many people trying to do it, and then to not only become successful, but to fucking play shows like this and to be a part of that community. Like, what does that mean to you? That you've been welcomed into this?
I don't know. It's very, it's an honor, honestly, but I got very lucky, and I want people to know that, because it's, like, it's not easy, especially, like, I don't think 16 to 17 year olds, I don't think a lot of people can say that they've had a successful album out.
Yeah.
And I just, like, I still can't really come to terms with that. It's just very crazy to me.
I feel like the surprises keep coming, because there's a show we keep mentioning over and over that a lot of these artists are playing at, fucking Tropicalia.
Yeah.
And you're on that.
That's crazy. Like, I've gotten festivals and, yeah, I've gotten multiple festivals with no booking agent somehow. Or, like, at least no booking agent, like, whatever you call it, like, interference or whatever.
Yeah.
So,
like, no middleman.
Yeah, like, no middleman. So I don't know how I got these shows. These people just,
like, I wake up and they're on my calendar, and you're like, oh, shit, I guess.
Well, it's like, it's more stressful than that. Like, I'll get an email, and then I don't look at the email because I'm, like, scared. I have, like, a phobia of my emails. So, like, I'll look at it, and I'll be like, oh, that's scary. I don't want to open that right now.
Yeah.
And then I'll come back, and then I'm like, oh, shit, I'm playing Tropicalia now. Like, oh, fuck.
Like, I'm on the fucking poster. There's no going back now.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Tell me about the day you found out that you were on the lineup for Tropicalia.
I think that's when I was starting to feel like Care was, like, on the decline, as people would say. And then I saw that, and I was like, how the fuck am I still relevant with one album out and, like, a few singles? Like, oh, my God. That's crazy. And I wasn't even, like, at the bottom of the list. I'm, like, a little bit off the bottom.
Yeah. I was like, whoa. You were in that, even today's lineup, you were in that meaty middle.
Yeah, that was surprising, too. I've never, that's crazy.
Do you feel like you, like, you know, because this is all kind of, like, happening, and it's kind of still, I would imagine, like, new to you, do you think you have any advice, like, if a young, you know, up-and-coming solo artist, like, trying to do what you do, like, said, hey, man, how do I get to where you are? Like, what did you do? How did you mentally prepare yourself for this? What would you say?
Well, I mean, one thing I'll say first is, like, my dad was telling me that he heard this thing on the radio, and this guy was asked the same question, and the guy was like, well, you really just have to have a good song, man, and then that's, like, that's it. And that honestly is it, but I didn't think I was making good music when I made Care. I was just, like, it was, like, stream of consciousness type thing. I was just making whatever I could make at the time. So, just, like, you just have to do it, and once it's out there, literally anything can happen, because I've had a lot of crazy stuff happen to me that I did not expect.
And that's kind of the beauty of it too. It's just like, it's just life is just kind of like gives you these little golden nuggets of pleasant surprises.
If you're dope, someone will notice.
Exactly.
Yeah. Much. There's an one thing I say to myself all the time is that there's an ear for everything. Like, there's people who like noise music, literally just like white noise or whatever. And then
people like ASMR.
Dude, yeah. I love ASMR. There's an ear. I have an ear for ASMR.
Yeah.
Hey, dude, yeah, that's fucking doing it for me right now.
Wow, we found it.
We're learning new and new things about you every second.
Yeah, we found it.
So what are you working on right now? You just premiered a new song.
I did three new songs.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Did you play any of them for the first time?
No.
Okay.
The crowd that I played them for before, I don't think they were necessarily there to see me. Mm. So, like, they all really liked it at the last show, but this show, this was more people in my,
your demo.
Yeah.
Your camp. A lot of thumbs up I saw.
Yeah. Yeah. This is very different music compared to what I released on Care.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very hard for me to believe them when they're saying, like, that they like this song.
Yeah. You're like, liars. Like, you see all
Dude,
the thumbs
I,
up.
That's what I said. I was like, you guys are fucking lying to me.
Oh, my God. Well, so where are the influences for this new project coming from as opposed to Care?
I don't know. Okay, but I'll just put it out there. I don't know what I'm working on yet. It could manifest itself in many ways.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
But there's a few songs that are going to be heavily influenced by jazz and R&B type of stuff. For a while I was like, I want to make songs that people can like really, really dance to.
Yeah.
And I couldn't really see that many people dancing in the crowd, but I hope that they were just nervous.
Yeah. I saw you dancing and I was like, ain't nobody gonna top those moves.
And then, 100%. No, dude, no way.
Yeah, dude. I was like, that's the pinnacle. If you're not on this level, don't even try.
Yeah, and then so like the stuff that I'm trying to make now is heavily influenced, I think, by, well, this is the funny thing. I just got into the Beatles. Like, I had like a vendetta against the Beatles because you just hear about them so much when you're little.
Commercials and shit. You're like,
yeah, so you're just like, Beatles, man, fuck the Beatles, bro. And then I listened to fucking Sgt. Pepper. I liked a few songs. I like a lot of songs off that album.
That's my opinion, their best album.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Sgt. Pepper's awesome.
I could listen to that from start to finish.
I think we just had a discussion. I don't know if was I talking to you, somebody. Like, I was like, Sgt. Pepper or the White Album? Those are like...
That was you and Justin, but I was in the car.
Top contenders. Yeah. But for me, Sgt. Pepper, bro.
Yeah, I think it's because it's... Well, this is how I'll transition into the other portion. I think it's because it's very conceptual and it was very new for the time. And you can still hear that newness because... It was a lot of shit that they did on there that kind of paved the way for a lot of things. But the thing I was going to transition to is that's not the first conceptual album that was widely accepted. It was actually Pet Sounds by the Beach
Boys.
Woo,
speaking our language.
Yes, my friend.
Yeah, I remember being in ninth grade and just being like, best albums of all time. And it's always... Pet Sounds, Sgt. Pepper, or Sgt. Pepper, Pet Sounds. Like,
yeah.
All the time.
I just got, me and my brother, we just got into the Beach Boys.
Me
and
too. I am drowning in Beach Boys, Brian Wilson shit.
High five!
Yeah, high five.
Hell yeah.
If you can't see this.
Yeah, Brian Wilson is like an unspoken genius. Like when you go into
a
rabbit hole.
Genius.
Well, not as spoken as he should be. Not as revered as Paul McCartney.
You're right.
Yeah.
I feel that.
We've been going down a rabbit, me and my brother, we've been going down a Brian Wilson rabbit hole, and it's just like, holy fuck, like.
Smile Sessions.
Oof.
Smiley Smile.
I got
Smiley
that.
Smile, that album has fucking Little Pat on it. If I only... That song is fucking good.
I'm going to be my
vegetable.
Yes. I'm going to count down.
And then the Smile vegetable. Sessions version of that one, I don't really like as much somehow.
Yeah.
And like, dude, this whole podcast could turn into Beach Boys shit. I have so much Beach Boys facts.
The hell yeah. Beach Boys, like, it's time for our new segment, Beach Boys Facts.
Yeah. I should make a YouTube channel.
Did you know... Dude, well, it sounds like a Temprix Chris Carmona Beach Boys cover album is coming.
Yeah,
I covered
the Vegetables song. I'm not gonna release it though. I was just practicing vocals. Yeah,
hell yeah,
that's awesome.
Love you more.
most of all.
All right.
Yes, there you go. Perfect.
And table with vegan.
Yeah.
Table vegan.
Yeah.
And with this has been so much fun. Like, thank you for being so nice enough to sit down with us for a little bit.
Of course.
We've been having such a great time talking to everybody, and like the community just feels like it's just getting more homelier and homelier.
Yeah, and everyone's super nice, and I dig it. But Chris always ends it with
yes, questions. I have a question, because people who listen to this episode will be coming if they're fans of you, but there'll also be a few who aren't. So, for those people, to get those people to listen to you, how would you pitch them your music?
Ah, shit. That's where I fuck up.
Well, there you have it.
I don't know, because I don't necessarily fight for, like... approval.
Gotcha.
I kind of just make what I make, and then I show it to my audience, and if they fuck with it, then they fuck with it.
They fuck with it.
So like, if I'm pitching it to you, I'm kind of cool sometimes. So you should check my shit out. Temperex.net, man. TEMPOREX.net.
There you have it. You fucking go. You're not gonna have a more genuine answer than that. Beautiful.
I'm Chris Carmona.
My name's Angel Salinas.
I'm Joseph Flores.
AKA.
We're out here, Temperex.
Boom, we out here in San Francisco, California.
Fucking Regency Ballroom in San Francisco.
Fuck
for
yeah.
Young Love.
And this has been so much fun. We will be back
forever.
Bye.
Bye.
Boom.
Hell yeah.
Dude, that was so much fun.
That was really cool, man.
Yeah! That's how you started.
We kept doing that the entire ride to San Francisco.
Yeah. I don't know what it. Well, for me, it comes from this Robot Chicken skit of like this like metal, heavy metal guy, and he's just like, yeah.
I specifically remember it was in the car right there, and it was like the closer to like a statement, and you brought down like our shades, and you were like, yeah. If you remember that.
I do fucking remember that, dude. Amazing. But anyway, you just listened to our interview with Temperex, and
yep.
Dude, it was so nice how it ended. We just listened to it with you.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing about Beach Boys and the Beatles, it was just like such a sweet moment. I remember sitting there and seeing Joseph and Chris just talk about the Beach Boys, and I was like, there, we're friends now.
Our little Peter Parker.
Yeah, you did, Peter Parker.
I think the greatest comment you made, you're like, Peter Parker in the street, Spider-Man.
In the sheets.
In the sheets. Well, you meant in the stage, but that's how we're rephrasing it.
Yeah, exactly. And then I saw Temperex at Tropicalia too.
Oh, yeah.
And he remembered me, so officially we're friends. So, Joseph, I know you're listening to this. Hi, friend.
Hi, Joseph. Thank you so much again. Dude, you were... I want to say something about the beforehand.
Oh, do it.
Okay, so when we were walking around asking people, like, do you want to be interviewed? Do you want to be interviewed? We saw Joseph, and we approached him. We're like, hey, man, we sent you an email, blah, blah, blah. Like, do you want to do an interview with us? And I remember he just looked so nervous and, like, so, like, it seemed standoffish, and he's just like, oh, yeah, just send me the email again, and, I'll get back to you.
We'll set up an interview sometime. And Chris is like, no, we're doing it here today if you have some free time later. He's like, oh, just like hit me up later or something.
Yeah, and then after that, we just like me and Andrew, we shared a look, and we're like, well, he's not gonna
want to
do it.
Yeah, I was like, he doesn't want to. And then we saw him perform, and we talked about this in the podcast. Like, he just turned into a different person.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh shit, this guy's dope.
Yeah, and then afterwards, he was just lounging around the green room, and I was like, I don't know, I feel like we should just try. Like, let's just see what he feels. And it was literally, well, it was definitely one of the biggest surprises of the night, because he just turned out to be just such a cool guy, and it's like, literally, don't judge a book by its cover.
Literally.
And like, even after an interaction, it's like, some people, like, we talk about in the show, he was just nervous. Like, he gets nervous reading about emails that, like, you know, prompt him to like do shows.
That's
and stuff.
That's just who he is.
It's just who he is. So it's like, yeah, you know, a big takeaway from that whole conversation is like, sometimes people have more to offer than you can give them credit for.
Yeah. So big shout out to Temperex.
Thank you, Joseph.
You the homie forever and ever. And we're going to jump into Chris's new homie, a homie he's been wishing would be his homie.
And all of your ladies is a potential mate, but he's mine.
But Chris has claimed him.
I'm claiming him.
He peed on him during the podcast.
I did. And I basically verbally peed all over this dude.
Weeks and weeks in the making. Omar Apollo, the Latino Justin Timberlake.
Say you wanna rock the beat, Say you wanna rock the beat,
You ain't never seen a brown boy like this.
Oh my God, we fucking got Omar Apollo on the show. How many fucking times did I, didn't I tell you? I can't even go back to the episode. I said we will have him on the show, and then Andrew's like, yeah, hopefully. I'm like, no, we are getting this motherfucker on the show. And we got him.
We did.
We fucking got him. Yes, that was, and I remember the moment I asked him, he's like, oh yeah, sure, let's do it. I was like,
what?
And I remember I told each other, like, Omar, and we're running to the, like, I'm like literally just flailing my arms, Omar, you're like a seal, bro.
It was, and so, if you can't tell, I'm sure Chris keeps his cool throughout the podcast.
Oh yeah, I was very professional till the last 5 minutes. Yeah.
And you'll see, so we're gonna listen to this bad boy and back with ya.
I hope I don't say anything dumb.
See you soon.
Hello.
Chris, come on.
So we don't just throw you in like fucking blind.
Right.
Me and Chris, my name's Angel.
Hey, Angel.
We have a podcast called the Us Podcast. We're from the city of Bell, from Southeast LA.
Oh, shit.
It's kind of near the city of
Maywood.
I don't know if you know this and shit. But we started this like just to like represent more like Latinx voices and like the podcast spectrum and shit, and
it's not as formal as it sounds. We just love fucking brown kids making shit.
That's so sick.
Like that. Chris is more like, you know, fucking brown boys doing dope shit.
Hell yeah.
Like, yeah, basically.
Fucking very simple to the point.
Yeah. Brown boys and girls.
Yeah, brown boys and girls. Yeah, you're right. And so now we're at this fucking show, Young Love, in fucking San Francisco, and it's super dope.
Insane,
so
man.
So this is Angel.
I'm Chris.
And who are we with today? That's your line, bro.
There you go. Omar Apollo.
Yeah, what? Dude. People are going to be like, what? That's not him.
Yeah. No, it's me.
What's so funny is like we've mentioned you so much.
Since the Viva Pomona show.
We're like, dude, this dude fucking took us by surprise. So like, good on you for making dope shit.
Thanks.
We're going to ask you the question we've been asking all our guests this night, which is, since this show is called Young Love, what does Young Love mean to you?
Man, that takes me back when I was like 18. That felt like young love, like 18 years old. Like, you know what? I was like 13.
13?
Wow. Young love, man. It's just like just shit you kind of just remember forever.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Like your first experience with like having real feelings.
Yeah.
Is like, there's nothing like it. It's crazy.
You're just like, this is the greatest.
And why do you think you got to be a part of this lineup? Other than the fact that like you're killing it, but like, how do you think you connect with the tour title Young Love?
I just feel like it's very vulnerable and truthful.
Yeah.
I guess the music, and I think people resonate with that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's like literally like just shit that pops in my head, you know, and it's just, I was like, oh, you like it? Cool. Like, you know, I didn't know.
Like,
but
I like it, too.
I think right off the bat, something I'd like to bring up is that you're not from here. You're from Indiana.
I'm from Indiana, yeah.
Right, right, man.
Yeah.
And that's interesting because we were all kind of collectively talking about on the way over here how, like, I personally think one of the biggest reasons your music is, like, you know, like, for better or worse, it's more different, I think, because you're not, like, it doesn't have, like, an L.A. sound, you feel? And it's got, like,
this different vibe. Yeah, thank you, man. Thank you.
And so I was going to ask, like, how does that feel? Like, how do you think your where you came from influenced your music and like differentiate you?
I don't know where I come from, like all like the old people listen to like Neil Young and like Steely Dan and like Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
And like those are like my favorite right now.
Damn.
And I think like it's not very funky in Indiana, which I'm getting into. That's more of like a Texas thing.
That's why I fucking dig it. That's my shit.
Yeah, like, but like, I'm super funky now. Like, like I educated myself like on Prince and all that. But I think like that and like growing up with my parents, like my dad put me onto the Beatles when I was like 12, you know, and he like didn't even know what they were saying because he's like I'm first generation.
Dude, that's
so
the best.
Like, so he just rocked with the music, and I was like,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so he just. Like family and like culture in there, like Indiana, like kind of like brought me up.
Yeah, you could definitely feel it. You could definitely feel it.
Very quiet and calm and chill. I love it. Yes. It's dope.
And do you think that like, do you like for like the more things that you create in the future, like do you want to continue to bring over here that sound from where you're from, or do you want to like adapt to this and then see how the Omar Paul
is. Nah, I'm gonna do my own thing.
That's cool. Yeah.
Like I my new shit's like so many genres.
Like what?
It's like country rock, funk.
What the?
Like,
I cannot wait for an Omar Apollo country rock album, dude.
Man, he has the best of both worlds, you know?
Oh, man, like the writing and everything is very like folk and and like on top of like funk, on top of like R&B soul, like all that, like just mixture.
That's
I just
what's
love
so great about
music.
This community as well, man. Like everybody you see, like. Fucking, we don't know about like Omar fucking Google being from like the South Bay.
Yeah.
Like that's not a community I heard of. And I would see you right now, man. You have like fucking gold orange shirt with the stripes.
Dude, yeah, just to set the scene.
Yeah, man.
Fucking,
this is it right now.
Omar Apollo is the fucking biggest anime fan, and this dude is fucking dressed up as Todoroki from My Hero Academia
right now. Dude, my brothers put me on to anime. Like,
oh my god.
Like,
these guys,
they're older than me.
Angel specifically.
And like, dude, they're like 24 and 23.
And that's
like,
right now, we're red.
Dude,
yeah,
San
dude,
Francisco. Dude, I've been defending anime since episode one of this fucking podcast.
No, seriously, bro. Like, there's a lot of slander, but.
Thank you.
I grew up with it, man. I feel a connection.
Yeah, dude, me too.
Yeah.
This is the happiest moment of my life. I can finally share, like, my
love. Don't be ashamed, bro. Don't be ashamed.
Yeah, dude, like, sitting with Chris and shit, I'll just be like,
I don't shame you for it, but when you bring it up, I'm just like, okay.
Just like, yeah,
dude,
you know,
watch
whatever,
it, bro. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Watch My Hero Academia.
Wow. Taking it back.
Tell us a little bit how you kind of got started in this whole thing. I don't think that's something that a lot of people have explored with you.
I mean, it started, I was living at home. I was like 18.
Yeah.
And I was just stealing beats off of YouTube.
Fuck yeah, that's what y'all did, yeah.
And then I was like, damn, I can't find beats. I'd spend like all day looking for beats. I couldn't find one that I
like
fucked
with. Like
the
one that had the sound, yeah.
Yeah, so then I was like, I play guitar, let me just make my own. So I went to the pawn shop, got myself a little guitar. I was working at McDonald's at the time.
Fucking shit.
And then like, when I started producing in like 2016, then that's when, like, when I started producing my own shit, putting it out, which is, I didn't really do anything. Like, I just put it out. Like, it was like, oh,
it happened,
shit.
Like, here you go. This is me.
It happened real natural. Like, it was very organic, you know?
Damn.
And then, like, my manager got in contact. After I put my first song on Spotify, and then from there, it was
and you were still in Indiana by that point.
I was still in Indiana, man.
So how did you, like, when did you come? Because the fact that you're from Indiana and, like, you're still, like, very ingrained in this community, man. Like, you just feel like... I thought you were from LA, honestly.
Nah, man.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, when did you, like, meet everybody? Or, like, how did that even happen, like, in the LA scene?
I just had some internet friends on Twitter, like, just DM me. And then I got a homie who kind of introduced me to, like, everyone. And then, like, I don't know. Shit, like, people just started rocking, like... You know how the internet works.
You know how it is when you get a
they're like, yo, what you want? Like, I love your
she
music.
Just goes
like,
down,
and I'm just like, oh, what up? And then you just kind of like build a relationship. And then it was never like on some like, I'm looking for something. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it just kind of came to you rather than you like chasing after it.
All right, I have a question.
Yeah.
So my homie Chris here has nicknamed you the Brown Justin Timberlake.
That's tight.
Like, how do you feel about that comparison?
That's fucking tight, bro. Like, I love Justin Timberlake. I've always loved him since I was a kid. That's sick. I mean, like, I'm Omar, but that's cool. Like, I love that I could be like, you know, compared.
I think I think when I say that, like, because again, I think comparisons are interesting. But what I mean by that, like, specifically, is you know, he's so versatile. You know, he started off as a boy band singer, and then he evolved into this like
R&B
solo artist, and then now actor and shit. And so I don't know, that to me, like, why I nicknamed you that. Not necessarily the vocal, like the falsettos, especially, is kind of where that came from. But I definitely see you as someone that's like hella versatile in just like your style, your fucking writing, and like I even see you. This is probably a little oversharing, but I'm writing a movie right now because I just made my first movie. I'm writing a movie, and I'm like, you know what? This lead, I fucking feel like Omar.
Dude,
Omar has like acting chops that he probably doesn't even know about. I want to give him this lead.
That's fire, bro. Yeah. No, I actually used to write short films, and like I started recording one when I was like 18. I got like a whole production thing like 18 years old. I was making music too, but I just like loved like acting, and then I started, and then like we got like a good like 3 minutes done.
Yeah.
But then I was like, nah, I could do better. So then I just scratched it. But I've written a few short films.
Yeah.
But yeah, acting is dope.
That's fucking cool. And that's what I mean. Like, that's why for me, you're the artist. I mean, I love everybody. I mean, everybody in this fucking community, you know, that's with you. Basically, the lineup of Tropicalia that's touring with you. But why you spoke more to me, especially like when I just, because I just found your music, like, just by going on that one date. And when I started like listening to your shit, I'm like, okay, like, you could just hear that you're not just gonna stay on one sound. You're gonna fucking
never,
like, evolve.
Bro, like, I can't. Dude. I get so bored.
Yeah.
I get so
bored. And I'm like
that
too. That's
that
why I could feel that. And he said that, like, okay, so you're just saying that Omar is basically like your musical spirit animal. It's like, okay,
yeah, bro, my new shit, like, I'm like tired of the old shit already, bro. Damn. Like, my new shit is tight.
Dude, I always found that interesting, like, having to perform, like, because the crowd loves your old stuff.
Yeah,
so it's
having
to get into that mindset of like, fuck, dude, I've been playing this shit for a while, but they want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you ever
I like it. I'm not just saying I don't like it, but I'm saying like I'm eager to put out shit
okay.
already, you know?
And do you make it a point to like be like, I'm gonna be completely different than this last album, this last project or whatever?
Completely better.
Completely
like,
better.
What like just because I just started making music in like 2016, so
yeah.
I'm like, I'm super like young music, like, you know, career, like, yeah. I used to like overthink it at first, and then as soon as I stopped thinking about it, it was like, you know, whatever, like, it, whatever happens.
You just allow it to happen. You don't put the resistance against it.
That's fucking dope. So,
well, I think the work speaks for itself, and what I wanted to allude to especially is, like, I got fucking stoked when I saw that you posted that Hijo de Su Madre opened Insecure.
Oh, yeah, man. That is so tight.
And that today, his recent single today was featured on the Skate Kitchen soundtrack, which is also for a movie.
Yeah.
So you're moving on to fucking
movies.
Dude, how does that feel? Like,
it's a blessing, man. Like, when I don't really talk about this with, like, home, like, family and like cousins and shit, and they find out about it, so then when they come up to me, they're like, yo, like, you were on Insecure. I'm like,
yeah.
It's kind of tight. It's just because, you know, like, I don't like communicate like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Just because it's, I don't know, it's, I don't want to like seem like too
braggy.
It's just I would like them to. Yeah. That's how I've always been. Like, I know my parents like didn't really even know that I was like making music until like it started like popping. You know what I'm saying?
And how do they feel about it now?
I'm sure your
man,
mom is bragging
it.
the shit out of you.
Yeah, it's that stage. There's stages. Like, people tell me like, yo, is your parents bragging about you yet? Cause, dude, I went to church with them and like, it was just like all her friends were lining up to take a picture.
It's adorable.
It's so
funny.
Like, and my mom is just standing there, like, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I think anybody would be anyway. This fool's tall as fuck. I was like, I gotta take a picture with this dude.
Okay, how tall are you, though?
Like 6'5".
Damn, I'm 6'3". 2 inches under.
We finally found someone taller than Justin.
Finally, yeah.
The fucking search is over.
I will never call myself kind of tall again. That's nothing.
Yeah, you're not, dude.
No te pasas, Omar.
Is there anything you think about specifically when you're performing? Or do you, like, just your mind go blank?
Yeah, I just try to put on the best performance, especially now. Like, I think about like Michael Jackson and like,
shit.
Like back in the day, I used to think of like punk shit. Like my whole tour was like punk. I was in mindset of like, I want these motherfuckers to push each other. Cause like Hijo, like the last song, Hijo de Somalia, is like, we changed it up so it's like high energy.
Heavier.
Yeah, like heavier. So like, now it's like, all right, now I just want to be intricate and like just put on a performance, not just go up there and sing, you know what I'm saying? So
do you think about like your legacy? Because I think, if I'm being honest, and I have to say this very low, I think you have like the most longevity of any of the, I'm honest, I swear to God, like, I'm just happy that we fucking have you here. Because preface, I've been saying we're gonna have you on this show. I didn't know how.
Yeah, Chris loves to. What do you
manifest,
call it? Like,
dude.
Shit's real, man. That's my whole life. It's creepy, like how like whatever you think just kind of fucking happens.
Right.
You just do it, man.
You just gotta let it go. You say it like you like
exactly.
let it
right.
go
right.
and it just happens.
Because the thing is, like, we're part of the same community. So I wasn't like, ugh. Like, even when we were here and I was like seeing you around, like, before, I would have been so nervous, like, what if he says no, what if he's too busy? But it's just like, you just gotta be cool and just be like, I deserve to be here, we all fucking deserve to be here, and at some point we're gonna get the time to fucking chat
and just
give people this information, because if I fucking go this hard for you, I'm sure there's so many more people and they would like kill to hear something like this from
me. Yeah, man, and it's just, It's just about like the more I like kind of meet people, the more I'm like, it's dope. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's exactly. not, it's not like, oh, I want to meet you. Like, it's just like, bro, what up? You know what I'm saying? What's up? How you doing?
Exactly.
Like,
I think my favorite thing about making this podcast has just been getting inspired by all the people we're talking about. And just being like, especially this room, this fucking green room alone, so much talent is in this fucking room. It's like,
yeah, it's crazy. It's,
this is like a biopic moment. Yeah. Where, like, the camera's just like zooming around.
I think it's like the first time, like it was my first time meeting Shane, but me and Miguel or Michael, we had like, we're real close. We met a long time ago.
Yeah,
but,
for everyone
like,
listening,
it's the first
in.
Time everyone like I feel like that I like I'm associated with like on the internet like are together. Like it's
the homie pull up of 2018,
dude.
Man.
I know.
So I didn't get to ask my question though. But do you have a legacy that you think of? Do you like are you conscious of that, or are you just kind of just like a go with the flow kind of guy?
I'm more of like the present kind of guy. Like I'm aware of it.
Right.
I'm aware of it, and it bothers me every second. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, I really want this music to, like...
last.
Not even that. Just more like, I'm proud of it, you know? Rather than, like, you know how easy it is to make a song, but you know how hard it is to make a song that you like? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, I can make songs all day, but if it doesn't make me feel something, then I know, like, it's not going to resonate. You know what I'm saying? So it's more of like, I love this shit so much, bro. Like this, like I love it. Like I've never loved anything that like wasn't like a person before. Mm-hmm. Like, but this shit, like I actually love. Like it's crazy, and that's what kind of motivates me to just like be better and like actually like kind of not like set a bar, but like you know. Like it's like oh shit, like you know what I'm saying?
That,
like,
that's
you
your
point,
goal. Like that's
you
your
point.
You're
like oh shit, you know.
That's literally exactly what I've been saying. It's like dude, this dude's fucking changing the game. And I know it sounds like I'm kissing your ass, but I just really want you to know.
Next oh really? I haven't noticed, dude.
I just shut up. This is the one chance I get. I just really want you to know that because like I think from like somebody who's like, I made my first movie at 19, and that like. When you do something, when you go on a fucking huge endeavor like that, you don't know if, like, anybody's going to fuck with it.
Yeah.
And so after having that experience and, like, seeing you, it's just, like, I don't know, like, I just connect. Like, you're, like, the music. This probably sounds like it, but I see, like, the music. Shut up. This is, like, you're, like, the music version of me. And I just fuck with that hard. Like,
that's dope.
I've imagined. It's so funny. I've imagined this interview happening, and I'm happy to say it's going exactly as I fucking imagined.
And let me just say, too, I've also said on the show. This is going to be a new stamp. He's going to be weirded out by this. No, not the weird stuff.
That was weird stuff. Really weird. The weird stuff?
The weird stuff of like calling my boyfriend engineer. Oh, my God. But not so weird stuff is that you and me, at some point in the future, we're going to have a fucking joint collab album. Like Jay-Z and Kanye, like fucking Cudi and Kanye.
The Brown Watch the Throne.
I know it sounds weird because like you don't know if I fucking make use of it at all. I don't yet, but I will. And when our fucking album wins the Grammy, goes fucking double platinum, people can come back to this fucking podcast, can come back to this fucking podcast and be like, oh shit, they put it out to the world twice. And once in front of Omar. So that's literally
I think with that. We're wow. fucking yes. calling it. Chris. Dude, this has been...
Thank you, Chris.
Dude, I'm sweating from this entire thing, bro. This is awesome.
That's so funny.
Dude, Omar Apollo, thank you so fucking much.
Fucking honor.
Yeah, man.
For doing this. And just being cool to just sit down and fucking interview with two dudes you've never fucking
and
met
a 20-minute conversation about who knows what.
About just fucking jerking you off for 20 minutes.
I hope you're satisfied.
Yeah, exactly.
Have a good show.
I don't know. I've always had, like... I don't know why. Like, if I don't talk to people, I get, like... odd, like I don't know, like I have to like when we were talking out there,
yeah,
like I was just like, yo, what's up, man?
Yeah,
you know,
what's
like I have to, like if I make eye contact with you, I'm probably gonna end up talking to you about something.
You just like start walking over. Oh no!
Oh, it's happening.
He's gonna say something.
It's a Seinfeld skit right there.
Yeah, yeah.
I made eye contact. Don't have to make conversation.
That's fucking funny. All right, man.
Well, I can't wait to follow the rest of your career, dude. Like, it's a fucking honor that we have you here.
Hell
this
yeah,
is like something that we willed into existence, and now it's
we
it's
did
here.
It.
We did it.
So believe in your dreams, because they come true.
Oh my God.
All right, so guys. Before you go, we like to end this off with a lot of people that are coming for you, but there might be a couple listeners who have never heard of you before, haven't heard your music. How would you pitch your music for these new listeners to check it out?
Good.
There you go. Boom.
And sold. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
That was the fucking interview.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Omar Paul. It's fucking honor.
Later.
Later. Sure.
Thanks, guys.
Wow. Did y'all just hear that?
I feel like I orgasmed again listening to that.
Chris, we were listening to this, and Chris was just hiding his face the whole time because he could not believe what came out of his mouth.
Or my penis.
Or his penis. When we were talking to Omar. And I was like, that's how we ended it, with just stroking his dick for the last 3 minutes? All right, that was the podcast. Goodbye.
Yeah, I feel like I've pretty much exhausted everything I needed to say about
that.
Yeah,
that was the build up to that interview was so intense.
Yeah,
it erupted.
It looked like you could hear a hodgepodge of Justin laughing, Angel going pew 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 pew, and me running like a motor mouth, complimenting Omar. Him going, oh wow, oh damn.
I kept going like, Chris, oh my god.
But
overall, fuck, man, that was so insane.
Like, I feel dizzy reliving that, because I just remember how fucking like how much. I think that's what made us tired. We were just so on a rush of emotion, mm-hmm. meeting all these people, and not only just talking to them. Like, it's one thing to talk to them and just have them be like, yeah, uh huh, sure, yeah, but like
engaging
with them, exactly. That was huge.
Like re-listening to this, it's just like, dude, he was in the conversation as much as we were, you know? Yeah. And it was so
that felt good.
Cool.
I was worried. I'm like, because I knew I had that thing at the end, but I was worried. I'm like, I hope we got a chance to allow him to, like, you know, really open up and like get, you know, on a personal level that he probably doesn't usually get on as often. And thankfully we did.
Yeah. He said some dope shit, and it was just insane to have Omar Apollo sitting in front of us in this fucking green room. Shout out to Katsu also again.
Yeah. Thank you, Katsu.
And just like,
he's an icon, man.
Yeah, it was
like,
fucking
awesome.
He's
an icon, and he's an icon in the making, too. So that, I'm just, he really is, like, I mean, all jokes aside, like, now, I feel like my eagerness for him has calmed down ever since that interview. Mm-hmm. But I just feel like, yeah, dude, like, I'm really, like, this is one of, like, the few brown careers that I, like, in my generation that I'm fucking so stoked to just see grow.
Fuck yeah. So that was Omar Paulo.
Yeah.
And we're going to top it off by interviewing someone that we did not think we were gonna do.
Absolutely not. He was the headliner.
Yeah, fucking Bane's World. And let's preface this episode by painting a picture of how this interview started.
Oh, it's such a great story.
I'm gonna give it to Chris first off, because this was the one. This was his doing.
This was my get, thankfully.
So who were we watching?
Was it Omar?
No, I think we were watching Yeek, maybe.
Okay, yeah, so Angel was watching Yeek, or Angel and I were watching Yeek, and I was going to go downstairs to the green room to do something. I think I was just going to get more pizza. Mm-hmm. So I said, all right, Angel, I'll be back. I'm going downstairs. I see Shane
dressed as Donnie Darko.
Dressed as Donnie Darko. He's coming up, and I'm like, oh, shit, there goes Bane's World. Like, he's by himself. He's not surrounded by his friends or whatever. I said, let me introduce myself at least and, you know, get him to come, you know, to consider doing an interview. So I say, hey, what's up, man? He's like, hey, what's up, dude? I'm Shane. I'm like, I'm Chris. I said, listen, I said, we're doing a podcast in the green room. I said, if you're free later on, if you're not busy, we'd love for you. He's like, oh, you want to go do it right now? I was like, huh? Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah. He's like, my green room's upstairs. You want to go? Let's do it right now. And I thought he was joking, because like, he kind of said it with like a smile. I thought he was like fucking around, like, yeah, let's go do it right now. And so I was like, ha, ha, ha. And he's like, yeah? I'm like, okay, yeah, yeah. I said, hang on. So we go up the stairs, and then how did I approach you, Angel?
Chris runs up to me looking like he just saw a ghost. And he was just like, Bane's World, right now. Bane's World.
Bane's World. And I'm like, waving him over.
And I thought, oh, he wants me to meet Bane's World. And I go to him and Shane, and Chris is like, okay, so I'm going to run downstairs and grab my mics. Angel, you go with Shane, and you go to his green room, which is upstairs. And I was like, what now? What's going on? And then Chris is like, okay, bye. And then Chris runs downstairs.
I storm downstairs.
Yeah. And then this is my part of the story, where I say hi to Shane, and then he's like, follow me. And he starts walking up the stairs, and I'm trailing behind him. And then he goes onto the stage behind this dark curtain, goes into this other room, goes up some more stairs, and enters his room. And I was like, are you about to kill me right now, dude? Like, this feels like I'm going to die. And he's like, haha, no. And then we arrive to his green room,
And his friends are there just kicking it, drinking, and having a good time.
His girlfriend, his friends, yeah.
Yeah, it was so cool. And he sits down, and I'm there in the room, and they don't know why the fuck I'm there.
Yeah.
They're just like, who is this person you found, Shane? And I'm standing there. And then he instantly goes, I have to go pee. And then he goes to the bathroom, leaving me with these strangers. And then across the hall, he goes, introduce yourself. And I was like, hi, I'm Angel. I'm going to do an interview right now. And they were all really cool, so.
And meanwhile, I'm downstairs just fucking packing up the mics like, oh, shit, oh, shit, oh, shit, oh, shit. And then, look, this is me. Like, calm down, calm down. He's Angel's already up there. It's fine. Just put it together. Just keep it easy. Just relax. Okay, let's go. And then run up the stairs.
And then his friends were like, you want a drink? I was like, yeah, sure. And then Chris comes. Hey, what's up, man?
You made me sound like Kevin Smith.
Hey, what's up, you guys? It's Kev Smith.
Dude, that's exactly it. And so, please enjoy the fruits of our labor. And listen to Bane's World's interview.
Our final interview, and perhaps a great one to close this whole thing off with.
Yeah. We're going to jump back in time one more time, as if this gimmick hasn't run its course yet. But anyway, goodbye.
Us can do, we can do.
Yeah, you bitch, give me top A.
Hey,
I'm in the green room. I'm sipping big, bro. I'm like a witch with a broom because it's Halloween.
Damn.
Fuck yeah.
Fucking sick, bro.
And I'm going to be burping because I started drinking.
I might puke. It's cool.
Oh, dude. Puke on fucking on the mic and I'm gonna sell it on eBay.
We're going to make a lot of money.
Like, Bane's World's vomit on this mic. Y'all want it? All right. So we're going to start this thing by asking you the question we've been asking everyone that we've been interviewing. This show tonight is called Young Love. So what does young love mean to you? Wait, who are we even... before I even ask, who are we even with?
Yeah.
My name's Angel. This is Chris.
I'm Chris.
Who Shane. Are you?
My name's Shane.
Yeah.
Oh, Shane from a band called Bane's World.
Yeah.
Wow.
Thank you so much for having us in your lovely green room.
Of course. It's very small, but thank you for being in here.
Lovely regardless.
You need chips or maybe a guac? Let me know.
Yeah, okay. Thank well, let's pause while Shane gets us some chips and guac.
Really?
I'm just kidding.
I would be stunned if you just, like, let him go through and the like, whole like process just, of going
I just
downstairs.
That I get on my phone and I just start scrolling through Instagram.
No. Okay, so now we start. So the show's called Young Love, and so I wanted to start by asking you, what do you think? What do you think about when you think of young love?
First thing that comes to my head is that song, Papilo.
By who?
Shit. Donnie Osmond?
Oh, Donnie Osmond, yeah.
Oh,
I don't know, just like your first love. Like a very young, innocent love. I mean, something that you're like totally enthralled with or enthralled by. And something pure, I guess. Yes.
I think I've said this already today, but like one of the first times I thought what I was in love was like a long distance relationship through MySpace and stuff with like someone important.
Well, I mean, when that kind of stuff, I had definitely had those too. You know, this person that you don't really know, and you're like, you don't really have the means to go meet up with someone and in person. So you're like, oh, I have like this MySpace. I'm like 9 years old, and like I meet this person who's like also 9 years old, and it's like, oh hey, like we're on MySpace.
Yeah, like whoa.
What's up?
Yeah.
Hey, like the. The colon with the P.
Yeah.
Like Dan, throwing it back to the emoticons before we had emojis.
Yeah, emoticons. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's cool. We've been asking this question. We thought of this on the way over here on our 5-hour drive over here.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that's kind of interesting because, you know, a lot of these shows get kind of these interesting titles, and I don't think the artists are ever asked or maybe even don't even think about, like, what the like the name even means, you know, because like sometimes they're like Funorama, you know, there's just like mindless
stuff.
Like
that, no, I mean, we didn't have any say in the name of the show, but I mean, I back it.
Yeah,
if you're young and you're in love, by all means,
you're like, go hard,
fuck
it, go hard in it, bro.
Yeah.
So, what city are you from?
Long Beach,
Long Beach, California,
just down the highway from us.
So,
yeah,
Long Beach. So, how do y'all not know where Bell is? We're like neighbors.
We are neighbors. I know where
I've heard of Bell Gardens on the radio. I feel like you guys have like a car dealership or something.
Yeah, most likely. There's also one in Downey.
Okay.
That's it. So like Bell is near like Southgate, Huntington Park.
You know what? Whenever I listen to Power 106, they back Bell Gardens for sure.
Yeah,
Bell.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
shout out
sure.
Power 106.
Thank you, Power 106.
Thank you for representing us in the most important ways possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think
no disrespect. I mean,
but that's why we do this show, because there isn't a lot, and it's not like you purposely ignore. It's just there's not a lot of people that know about it, so we're just trying to make noise from this area so that more people know about it, because there's a lot of fucking creative, big talent over there, and we sort of started with the talent there, and to sort of graduate towards the end of our season of our show, like here to like meet you. Like, my brother's a fucking huge fan of you, and he makes music too. And
there's like a narrative that goes through our show.
Yeah, his name's Brandon Carmona. His band's Blackmouth.
Brandon Carmona?
Brandon Carmona, yeah.
This is Chris Carmona.
Blackmouth, yeah.
Shout out Blackmouth.
Like, the thing we've learned most about today, just interviewing all these like artists and bands and musicians, everyone's so fucking nice. And like, I was telling Chris, like, I had such a kind of a phobia of like approaching an artist and just being like, hey, can you give me some of your time? Because I feel like they'd be like,
totally. I know how that feels. I know how that feels, like, to approach someone who like you really enjoy or like maybe even look up to, and like having them not give you the time of day or like just disrespect you, even though that they're like this much higher than you, it doesn't feel good, you know, especially when it's somebody that you really look up to.
Yeah.
And you know, I can see both sides though, because it can get very overwhelming. People have bad days.
Oh yeah.
But do your best to like just be nice, like be a good person, and like give these people the respect that they're giving you. They're allowing you to live your life the way that you live your life.
Exactly.
Like, I wouldn't have been able to drive up to San Francisco and play a show, and like, you know, drive back and not have to work a job. And I mean, this is my job, but you know what I'm saying.
Well, yeah, we've been hearing like people, a lot of artists today talk about like their side hustles and their old jobs and stuff. What was the last real job you had before you cut it quits and were like, I'm gonna do this shit full time?
I think it was at a car wash.
What?
Wow.
Yeah, I had a lot of jobs. Yeah, I worked at a car wash, and then before that it was a chocolate factory.
Mm-hmm. Whoa, I worked at a chocolate store too.
Yeah. Really?
Wow.
Yeah. What kind of chocolate?
Belgian chocolate.
Oh, mine was better.
Why?
Macadamia nuts, Bill.
Yeah, it's pretty
bomb. Macadamia nuts. Bop. Macadamia nuts slap.
I feel like we're being super rude. Can the folks behind us introduce themselves?
Yeah, who's back there?
Raphael Sakowski, loser.
Perfect.
Angie Fish.
Fish?
Andrew.
Riley Coolahan.
Dude. Like, we're adding like. So you've recently toured with a couple of big acts like Mac DeMarco. You played shows with Tyler the Creator.
Didn't tour, no, not with them. But we played shows. With them.
You played shows with Mac. You played shows with Tyler.
Yeah,
I was actually at that show you played at the Observatory.
Yeah, the big one with like Steve and Tyler.
I was like Bane's World, and I was like, who the hell are these
guys? Man, when I saw my name on that flare.
How did that feel?
Just in the pants.
Literally.
It's ecstasy, literally.
Yeah. No, it was crazy, man. You know, it's surreal. Super surreal.
Yeah, so my brother he told me a lot about you, and like we'd listen to your stuff, and he told me that you were just like, you know, this kid from Long Beach, and that you were just like blowing up like fucking fast. So how does that feel to, now that you've toured like with Mac, now that you've done shows with Tyler, like what is that, I don't know, like what did you learn from those experiences? Like what did those foos teach you?
I don't know in particular. Well, you know, I've always looked up to Mac, and Tyler has always been a big name in the music industry, and like, I think it's just being true to what you really want, and like following your path, your own path, and not anybody else's. And you know, just being yourself. Be yourself, and not like, you know, people don't want this glamorized version of you. They want something real, I feel like. And not even being like super aware of that.
Yeah.
I feel like just, you know, do your thing. Mm-hmm. And if people like you, then they'll like you. And if they don't, they don't. And that's fine.
That's cool.
I feel like I've learned a lot over time, you know, playing. It seemed like a really long time. Or to other people, it seems like a short period of time.
Yeah.
But since I'm living it, you know, day by day, it feels like it's been a long time.
Yeah, I bet.
Coming. So, you know, living it day by day, it's you learn something new every day, whether it be music or just something that pertains to life in general.
Yeah.
And, like, growing up and, like, having this position, I don't know, you learn a lot. And, like, just having a good support system, like my lovely girlfriend, my parents. And
shout out!
Shouts out! Yay.
My mom and dad, her mom, my sisters.
Our queen, Deborah.
Yeah. Shout out all of them.
It's important to like keep those people very close.
Definitely.
I think that leads me to my next question, which is like...
Let's switch mics really quick, because this one sounds a lot better.
Sure.
There you go. Thank you.
Oh, nice. Yeah, let's make Chris sound like shit.
Yeah, please.
So, like, my next question is, so you're headlining tonight's show, Young Love. Did this, like, growth ever feel like it's too fast? Like, did you ever freak out, like, this shit's happening too fast, like, I need to cut the brakes? Or did it feel like this is right on time?
I'll counter that with saying, like, me being headlining, a lot of these people that are playing with me tonight are incredibly talented, and I feel like they should be headlining.
Wow.
you know, it keeps the playing field... It keeps it, like, competitive, but in a good spirited way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think it's right on time. I think it's, like, completely right on time.
That's a great way to look at it. Because some people might think, like, oh, shit, like, I'm peaking now.
Yeah.
And
well, I mean, I have felt like that.
Yeah.
And that's, like, a really bad way to, like, feel, you know?
Yeah,
like,
but... Yeah.
And I heard this really good quote. I forgot where I heard... Oh, you know what? You know Vsauce?
Vsauce, yeah.
The guy with the beard, the original Vsauce, he said... He said something on his YouTube video where he was like, my dad told me, one of the first things he told me that I can remember is, don't peak too soon. And that's something that, like, really resonates with me, and it's kind of scary because, like, I don't know when to determine when you're peaking and when you're not and, like, what's to come.
Yeah.
So that's something to think
about. I think why I wanted to bring that up too is because a lot of fucking young people are blowing up right now, and... While it can be exciting and really thrilling, I can imagine that it's, like, equally terrifying because you think, like, well, shit, my idols were, like, fucking in their 20s when they were killing it like I was. Like, I'm fucking 18.
Yeah.
So, like, how do you counteract those thoughts, and how do you challenge yourself to keep that fucking growth going and to just keep
Don't
expanding?
Don't compare yourself because you're going to do your own thing and you're going to grow as you do. Just can't compare yourself
to other
That's people. Right.
You're gonna like live your career out to how your career is gonna play out. Like, don't go by somebody else's career.
Oh. Fuck yeah.
Speaking of aspiring musicians, I read somewhere that you make all your music on GarageBand.
Yeah, that's
stuff,
what I
was right?
talking about.
Yeah.
Well, we gotta train off. So I want to know what you think about artists that say, like, oh, you know, I'm not ready to make music because I can't afford this program, or I can't do this program, or I don't have this instrument and shit like that.
Well, Macs are really expensive.
Yeah.
So that's the first stuff. And GarageBand is free, but
yeah.
A Mac is expensive.
That's right, yeah.
So I feel like a lot that played into it was just musicality in my family and, like, what I was taught from my family and my dad, like, as a guitar player, and just, like, sonically what you can hear within your head and what you want to hear. And, like, second, it's your production skills are secondary completely. People who are starting out, like, you can definitely train to become a great musician, but I feel like, you know, my dad taught me how to play guitar. I never took a lesson other than from him.
Wow.
And I took chorus in middle school. I never took a singing lesson other than that. I think that, like, I don't know how to compare it. But, you know, if you want to make music, it's very easy. It's just, like, you have the tools in front of you if you have a computer, pretty much.
Yeah.
Any kind of computer.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a Mac.
Yeah. There you go. No fucking excuse.
Yeah, there's really no
aspiring ass musicians.
Yeah.
Psh, it's fucking Shane motivation. Telling you right here. Yeah, motivation in spades right now.
I really dug when my brother told me that you're from Long Beach because, I mean, I think some of the biggest acts we've got from there are mainly hip hop oriented.
Vince Staples, shout out.
Yeah,
shout
fucking out.
Snoop
Dogg,
Dogg shout
yeah,
out.
Exactly.
So Shane's World, shout out.
How does? Gabriel Iglesias too.
There you go.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I saw him at. Oh, this was years ago. I was super fucked up at a Denny's on 7th Street and fucking PCH or Bellflower, and I saw him there. And my friends were about to dine and dash, and I paid my check, and I was like, "All right, I gotta go. I'm not gonna be here when they leave without paying." So, yeah, I saw him on my way out.
He was like, "Hi."
Dude, we do that all the time. Oh, Bane's bro just burped into the mic. Fuck yeah.
We burp, we fucking sneeze, we cough.
I thought you were going to say we cum.
not yet.
but it might happen right now.
Now it's only three of us. That'd be weird. If everybody else is in here, it's fine.
You're like, but maybe, but like now, now not so much. They left for a reason.
Back in speaking of Long Beach, how do you think your city has influenced your music? And do you want to continue seeing how you can expand on that LBC sound, or do you want to like eventually grow out and like just like make your own like weird thing?
I've gotten a question similar to this before, and the only thing I can say is I don't think, well, you know, the people that are from Long Beach, you know, that's Long Beach, so I don't want to say Long Beach didn't influence me, but the city itself and what, you know, comes with it, I don't think really directly influenced me, but the people that I'm with and just the mindset of the people that I grew up with and the people that, you know, I skated with.
Yeah.
People say, like, they get a beachy vibe and stuff like that. I never meant for that or anything like that, but, you know, I take pride in my city. I love where I'm from. I never want to leave. And somebody said, like, can get the vibe straight away that it's, like, you know, Southern California beach, and that's awesome.
Yeah.
But I said the same answer to this. It was, I would love to make something that like people would be like, where the fuck is this from?
Yeah,
you know, something like that.
Well,
like,
my brother was pitching because we, my brother scored my movie. We made a movie, and there's a fight sequence that he was scoring, and he said, you know, for this, I'm really influenced by Bane's role. I said, in what way? He's like, so when the guitars come in, he's like, I like how when Bane or when Shane does his music, they sound wet. The guitars sound wet. That's how he described
like
it.
Underwater.
Exactly. Yeah. So
motionish.
Yeah, exactly. So when he made that, I was now when I hear that song from the movie, I think like, oh shit, like Bane's world like influenced this part of like my
really
soundtrack.
Cool.
So it's really full
funny
circle.
Story. When Drowsy was not Drowsy yet, I wanted to score. I wanted that to be the score. Whenever I think of like a movie project, I would do the music first. So I had all this music, and I was like, I'll make a video to this, or like a short film.
Mm-hmm.
So like that totally fell through. But like that's really cool how he like is influenced by me to like score your film.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
And one thing that I've been picking up, all these artists have said that
they
dabbled
be,
in shorts.
They all want to be
filmmakers,
actors.
At some point.
And we want to be, we're filmmakers. Everything's coming together.
Yeah.
And that's why it's called the Us Podcast.
Exactly.
It's all of, our little thing is like, it's all of us, bro. It's a podcast about us, et cetera, et cetera.
And I just really want to say too, because you're the headliner here. And, you know, you don't have to say yes to everything. And I was walking down the stairs, Shane's coming up, and I'm like, oh shit, there he goes. I at least want to say hi and just at least get it out there that we want to do an interview. Like, he can say no, whatever, no big. I introduce myself, he's like, hey, I'm Shane, da da da. I'm like, hey, so we have this podcast, and I didn't even get to finish my sentence. He's like, oh, let's go do it up in my green room. And I'm like, what?
I didn't know that.
Okay, and then he's like, yeah, you want to go right now? I'm like, sure, let's do it. And so I run over there, like, hey, Baseball.
Yeah, I was like, damn, I thought Chris did like some finessing, be like, oh my god, hey man, just listen real quick.
I got
some weed
in my car, I offered it to Shane. Please, just
dude,
come see him.
I will tell you when.
Really my pleasure, like, you guys are really sweet.
Oh, thank you. I will tell everyone listening that when Chris went to go get the mics and I was following Shane up here, it really felt like I was going to get murdered.
He walked in here, he's like, am I gonna get murdered?
Yeah,
because
he's straight up like.
And then I had to pee so bad, and there was people in the room. I was like, "Okay, introduce yourself," and I just left the room.
Yeah, it was so funny because like,
pee really
because
so
Shane went
bad.
Like, I was following Shane. He wasn't even looking at me. Like, it just looked like he was leading me somewhere, and I was like,
I think part of it is because he thought we were gonna go downstairs to get the stuff, and like last minute I said, just follow him.
Yeah, like, just follow. And I was like, oh fucking whatever. This dude's dressed as Donnie Darko, looking all fucking all hunched over, and I'm just like, okay, fuck it, I'm gonna do it. Wait, I have a quick anecdote about Long Beach real quick.
Okay.
So I do Lyft drives sometimes, and I was doing it at night recently, and then I had to take someone to the Queen Mary, and they were doing this like Dark Harbor fucking nights. I was stuck like on a fucking bridge for like 20
Dark Harbor?
Minutes.
Don't fucking go to Dark Harbor. Okay, this is the only thing bad I have to say about Long Beach. Fuck Dark Harbor. Don't go.
Why?
Because it's fucking stupid. We waited in a line for like an hour and a half just to get in. Okay, so we waited in the car to get to where we would get dropped off for like 45 minutes.
Yeah, that was
we
me.
We got out of the car, we waited an hour and a half to get in, and then it was just fucking stopes. Lame.
I agree. Thank you. Yeah. I'm glad we can find some common ground. Dark Harbor.
Oh,
fucking,
we got more than that in common.
That should ruin. Sure. Yeah, that should ruin my night. It ruined Shane's night.
Yeah, it was fucking stupid.
Yeah, Long Beach, get it together.
I just said something bad.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, man, we're gonna. Pleasure, guys. We have one more question that Chris has been asking everybody when we end.
And I think this is very fitting for someone that is fucking running this shit. But for again, if anybody's listening to this, it's mostly because they're familiar with your shit and they're big fanatics. But for the people who have never heard a Bane's World song or don't even know who you are yet, how would you pitch for them to check you out?
Listen to it if you like it. Thanks. Thank you so much.
There
if
you don't, go.
That's totally cool. Like
and that. There you go. No more. The most peaceful response I could have ever imagined.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
so
there was it's good. There was yeah. If you want to listen to it, go ahead. But
this was like
very like
this is like thank you regardless.
You know what that
you're
is?
So zen.
It's you know what it is? It's big dick energy. He's
like, oh my god. I'll save this for you guys.
Yeah, dude, big dick okay. energy. All right, thank you so much,
thank
everybody.
You.
This has been Angel,
thank
Chris.
You guys. We're signing off.
Fucking
thanks
Shane from
Baltimore. Later.
Bye.
Fuck
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get my instant reactions after listening to that is just like how fucking nice of a guy Shane is.
What a swell dude. Like I liked his music before, but I remember when we were driving back to our Airbnb after that, like we were blasting it and it just sounded so much sweeter to me. It just sounded cause I'm like this is music from a great guy.
Mm-hmm. And you just I don't know, man. He just gave off such good energy, such big dick energy as you
that
heard.
That big
at
dick
the
energy
end.
Was really soothing.
And I don't know, man. Like he's such a zen. I mentioned like you're so zen. Like he's just such a peaceful dude.
Yeah.
Such a nice guy. And he didn't have to do any of the things. He didn't have to.
Absolutely not.
He didn't have to invite us to his fucking green room to do it. But he did, because that's the kind of person he is.
Yeah.
Fuck Dark Harbor, like Shane said.
Yeah, and you know, for someone like I kept like this was the one I feel like me and Angel were like, of all the bands we're gonna like, this is probably the one we're gonna have to like accept that we won't get.
Mm-hmm.
We like even me, I was like, we're probably not just because he's the main guy. Everyone's gonna be wanting to talk to him and mm-hmm. like, even when he came in, I believe he came in with like his entourage or his like his friends.
Yeah.
But you know,
he was like he came into the green room for a few minutes and
yeah.
then he disappeared like a dragon, like an elusive dragon.
Yeah, and so I was like, okay, this might be the toughest one. So that's why when I saw him going down the stairs, I'm like, all right, this, I have one chance mm-hmm. to try to shoot my shot, and if not, and then look where it got us.
Boom.
Not only did he surprise us by giving us such a great interview, not only did I realize I had like a fucking full circle connection with him through my via my movie, not only did he fucking like just say that like we were like sweet and all that and
dude.
That we bonded over like just separate things, it just
oh
it literally artists any artist take note, interactions like this just being just like genuine and sincere and just a good person, like it. I'm not even kidding. It just made his music that much better to
mm-hmm.
me. I just love. I love all these. I listen to all of them. And I'm like, I love this.
Yeah, there.
It elevates.
It elevates your music when you find out the person making it is such a genuine, nice person like that.
Yeah.
And I think their interactions with people like me, because, like, in the grand scheme of things, Chris and me aren't very important people.
Not yet.
You know, not yet. Anyway, like we're pretty unknown. So for all these artists to take their time to do these interviews for us without even really knowing what the fuck we were going to do with it.
Yeah,
you know?
For all they knew, we could have been a neo-Nazi show. And
yeah, exactly. Like, they didn't know shit, but thankfully we gave them a little background of the show right before we did
yeah.
interviews. But like
even
didn't. They said yes without knowing any of that. You know?
Without knowing if we had good quality, without knowing if we have any listeners,
without
anything.
Knowing our energy, the way even the questions we were going to ask. Like
yeah.
they just went in, they just saw me and Chris. I don't know why the fuck they said yes.
I think it's just like it was just the vibes that we gave off, and not just that, dude. It's like I was gonna say, these people, Boyo, Aolani, Michael Sayer, Temprex, Omar Apollo, Bane's World. I'm just so happy we got to speak to them. I'm so happy that they're a part of our circle now. Even again, we're not saying that we're friends with all of them, and but it's just we've made
that initial
all these episodes. Like we've made our mark.
Mm-hmm.
We've like even you know because this is gonna pick up in listenership at some point, but this is a time capsule.
Mm-hmm.
We have this now.
They're gonna stay there,
and so when all these people take off and do their own things in their careers, like you have this to kind of return to and be like, damn, this is what they sound like when they were just kids.
It's like, holy shit, is that Omar Apollo?
Yeah,
What, Davey? Now he's got that album with Chris. Thank you.
The fucking brand. Watch the throne.
Angel, of this entire experience, now I want to ask you, what did you think?
You asked me that last episode.
I did, but like the whole experience.
The whole experience.
Just the whole trip, the drive there.
I told you this afterwards. Now you've made me get rid of the excuse of we probably can't do this. Like after remember I did this thing where it's like, well, I guess anything's possible now.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah, and he said it so like like disappointed. Angel's like, I guess anything's possible now. I'm like, you know what? I'll take it.
Because not that I didn't think we're gonna do it, but I was just like, Chris, you better prepare for not getting these interviews because that's a possibility. But Chris wouldn't hear it. Neither would fucking Justin. They're like, fool, we're here already. We're gonna get him.
My mom loves this story, so I'll repeat it. Angel, the entire way, like when we were like, again, Angel was being a professional. I will give him major credit for that. Like, that's why these interviews have substance, because I was just gonna wing it. He's like, I'm gonna do research. So in the car, he's researching them. We're kind of going questions as I'm driving, and Justin's in the front seat. Was he in the front or the back?
He was in the front.
Right. Okay. And I remember Angel, like, midway as we're like prepping all these, he's like, dude, I'm getting really excited. He's like, and then he paused, and then he kind of slumped. He's like, man, this is going to really suck if we do all this work and we don't get to talk to any of these people. Mm-hmm. And I looked at Angel, I'm like, what are you talking about? Of course we're going to talk to him. He's like, you don't know that? I said, Angel, I brought the mics. Yeah, I'm like, I brought the mics. Did. I'm like, why else? And then just like, yeah, we brought the mics. I'm like, why else would I bring these fucking mics if I didn't think we were going to talk to these fools?
Yeah, and I was like, dude, we're 3 hours away from San Francisco. I don't even know if I can get in the green room because I just had a general admission ticket. Oh,
that's a whole nother
dude. But
crazy story.
The point is, it happened. We did it. Mm-hmm. We did more than we thought we were gonna.
Yeah.
And so now I had to leave that experience being like, well, now I have no excuse.
No more.
Anything's possible.
And that goes for all of you folks. Like, it's really, I like what this whole thing represents. Not just for us, but just, you know, we are just brown kids from Sella. And especially after a USC visit I had, I realized, dude, we really are bottom. Yeah. We are bottom of the food chain. But to be able to make things like this happen and to do it so selflessly, like, of course, I think with any art form, there is a form of vanity to it. Of course, we want to be known. Of course, we want to be, you know, the icons of our generation. But really, like, we make no money off this. I make no money when I'm editing and the promos and putting together the episodes, leveling them out, but we do it because I'm like, I know this is just like the same mentality I had when I was making my movie. I'm like, I know this is for a bigger picture thing that I can't see yet, and I'm happy to share this experience with Angel.
Me too, and I'm happy to share this experience with Chris. And it's been an awesome time, and it's only gonna get awesomer. Yeah. If this is what we accomplished season one,
yeah,
with no experience of how to do a podcast.
Absolutely not.
You can, if you listen to everything, you can hear us grow throughout this season. Mm-hmm. You know, like, the person we were episode one, holy fuck, we are not that person anymore.
No,
those people anymore. And just to go from, like, I just discovered this really cool artist named Omar Apollo to being like, Omar Apollo, you're my boyfriend. In the span of a few weeks, you know?
Yeah.
It's fucking, I can't attribute that to anything more than the invisible hand of fate that I love talking about.
And to my belief that, you know, we're all on a path, and, you know, when you tell the universe, like, this is what I fucking want, the universe builds a roadmap for you. And that means you won't get certain things, but that's because you're not supposed to get that. You're supposed to, you know, it's maneuvering you. It's like, it's a roadmap. Mm-hmm. I guess it's similar to the hand, yeah. Now that I think about it.
The hand and the road.
Fuck it. We come to an agreement.
Middle ground. So thank you once again for listening to another episode of the Us Podcast.
Our penultimate.
Yeah, this was episode 19. Mm-hmm. So
I looked at Angel as I put up these mics. I'm like, bro, this is the second to last time we're going to do this shit for a while.
Yeah. And so hope y'all join us for the last one.
20.
El 20. And we'll see you then. We'll continue this conversation.
We'll save our goodbyes for that one.
Yeah. So for now, see you soon.
Take care.
Hey everybody, thanks so much for checking out the Us Podcast.
You can follow us on our Instagram at Us Podcast.
You can also follow us on our personal Instagrams. I am at AngelIsalinas_.
And you can follow me at TheChrisCarmona.
Follow us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcast from. Write us a review.
Please, that helps us out so much.
Say some nice things. Say some maybe not so nice things. Go ahead and tell us.
Bleats.
Bleats. All right. Bye.
They put it pretty good.